The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Happy Tuesday and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm so glad that you're along for the ride. So currently, we're in a series in which we're responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace theology. Our subject for today is to talk about evidence for salvation, and whether any evidence could truly provide assurance. Now, at the end of the program, I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit more about our ministry, so stay tuned for that. But as for now, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show, where we're discussing Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. And we were just kind of getting started into his third chapter called False Assurance, where he says free grace theology gives false assurance of eternal life to many people who profess faith in Christ, but then show no evidence in their pattern of life. And the very first heading is the result of the weakened free grace gospel is many unsaved people. Now, why does Grudem say these people are unsaved? Because, in his view, it's not enough to believe in the sense of intellectual assent to a message. You need to repent. Repentance, he says, is a component of genuine saving faith. And earlier in the book, in chapter 2, he explained that repentance means stop doing the bad works, changing your life, and doing the good works.
Right. And the other part of this would be, obviously, Dr. Grudem would say, if someone believed what we teach, and they did turn from their sins, even though we didn't tell them they had to, and they did have a godly pattern of life, even though we didn't tell them they had to, he would say they were born again, right?
Yeah, if they accidentally repented, in his sense, yes.
And had a godly lifestyle.
Yeah.
Then they would make it.
Right.
So what he's ultimately saying in his first point in this chapter is that the free grace message demotivates people from serving God. In other words, what we need is fear of hell in order to get people to have the pattern of life they need in order to make it into heaven.
Mm.
I'm concerned about the salvation of Wayne Grudem. And the reason I am is I've never read anywhere where he says there was a time in his life that he believed that simply by faith in Jesus, that is being persuaded that he's telling the truth in John 3:16, that he had everlasting life and could never lose it. It seems this may be what he's always believed. Now, I hope at some point in the past, maybe before his theological education, he believes the free gift. But my point is, if not, he's a false professor. If not, he has false assurance.
Absolutely.
Because he's basing his assurance on his works. And no matter how godly he is, and by the way, I don't deny that Wayne Grudem is a very moral man.
I mean, we don't know, but we assume so.
Well, you know, I have heard him talk, I believe, at ETS before, and Fred Shea, a friend of mine, knew him for many years at Phoenix Seminary, and the impression I got is Fred thought he was a very moral person, but I don't really know him. But either way, that has nothing to do with whether he's born again.
Right. He's only born again if he's ever believed in Jesus for what he promised, that if you simply believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. Sure sounds like Wayne Grudem thinks that, no, I only have everlasting. It's not enough to intellectually assent to what Jesus promises. I need to repent. And repent includes doing these good behaviors and showing a pattern of fruit. And he kind of waffles on this. On the one hand, he makes repentance part of genuine saving faith. But on the other hand, Wayne Grudem also wants to say, but also these good works are a fruit of genuine saving faith.
Right.
There's a lot of unclarity there. I would love to see a clear explanation from him of how those two components are related. The second section in this chapter is this, under the letter B. He says, New Testament epistles frequently warn churchgoers that some of them might not be saved. Now, where would he get that in the epistles, I wonder?
Well, he points to verses like the first one he jumps on is James 2:14-17, which we're going to discuss in chapter 5 because that's one of his key texts. So we don't need to really spend much time here. He also talks about his second one is 1 Corinthians 6:9-11.
Right. And that one says, now, why would he think that's a message about why you might not really be saved? I think it's because Paul has a vice list. And then he says, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And when people hear will inherit the kingdom of God, especially if you're not a dispensationalist, and you have really no concept of eternal rewards or of an actual kingdom coming in the future, you think inherit the kingdom of God means get into heaven.
Right. Let me point out before we discuss the idea of inheriting the kingdom that, as we saw in the last chapter, he doesn't actually exegete any of these passages.
Right. So
he just quotes them, and he's got a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh. He has eight different passages he quotes, and he doesn't exegete any of them.
Right. Now, to his credit, on one of them, on 1 John, he does, we complained in the last episode that he quotes all these passages as if it's obvious that they make his point, and he doesn't even try to quote any free grace authors to see what our position on those passages might
right.
be. But there is one, there is an example of him quoting a free grace guy. He quotes Jody Dillo's Final Destiny for 1 John. And so, okay, kudos to Grudem for at least quoting.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he doesn't give our arguments on James 2, 14 to 17,
no.
or on 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, or 2 Corinthians 13, 5, or Hebrews 3, 12, or any of these other texts. And so my point would be that what Grudem needs to do is to exegete these passages. But concerning the one you mentioned, inheriting the kingdom, we make the case that inheriting the kingdom refers to ruling with Christ in the life to come, and that's a reward for endurance.
Yes.
And so not all believers will inherit the kingdom.
Right.
By the way, there was a thesis done at Dallas Seminary by a man named Klapstein. He did kleirana meo and kleirana mia in the New Testament. Those are the words for to inherit or inheritance. And he shows in that thesis that these are rewards concepts. And they are in a family as well.
Right.
In other words, you can be a member of a family and be disinherited. Even in Israel, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi all failed to receive the double portion of the blessing, even though they were the three oldest sons.
Right. Honestly, a free grace person reading this chapter is not going to be impressed by Grudem's verses that he cites, because we know about eternal rewards, and you're going to read these things and you're going to realize this isn't talking about that you might not be eternally saved. It's addressing believers about how they might not get these rewards. So, for example, that's what 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 11 is certainly about, no question. What about 2 Corinthians 13, 5? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?
Here's an example where he doesn't exegete it at all.
So we don't know really what he believes, but we assume this is, in his view, Paul telling people, hey, you might not actually be saved.
Well, okay, in Greek, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13 starts out with yourselves. Yourselves examine. Why?
Yeah.
Because in the first four verses, Paul says, you've been examining me and questioning whether I speak for God, questioning whether I truly have apostolic authority. And then he says, no, yourselves examine.
Right.
And then he goes on to say whether you realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you. He doesn't mean positionally, just like they weren't questioning whether he was born again.
Yeah.
He means whether Jesus Christ is in you, that is, in your experience, so that you are speaking for him, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. One of the things he fails to point out, and I pointed out in several of my books and several articles, is that the Greek noun adokimos, disapproved, and the Greek verb dokimazo, to test, mm-hmm. is all through verses 5, 6, and 7. Paul uses this word adokimos of himself as possibility in 1 Corinthians 9, 27.
Right.
He says, I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself might be adokimos.
Right. And so this is all rewards. And we might not have mentioned it yet, but you have a book responding to Grudem called Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology. You go through the chapter by chapter, section by section, answering Grudem's charges. You have an amazing memory, because basically you just said what was in your book. That this is all just disqualification, dokimos, adokimos, all that stuff is all about rewards.
Grudem is preaching to the choir.
Yes.
He's writing a book to other people who agree with him.
Yes.
And they're going to read this and go, oh, okay. But if anyone is critically looking at what he says and trying to see how he proves what he's saying, it's without proof.
Yeah, here's another example. 1 John 3:6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. And I guess Grudem would say, well, this means if you're sinning in your life, that's the pattern of your behavior. Never knowing has either seen him or known him. If you don't know Jesus, that must mean you're never saved to begin with.
Right. And it's a nutty kind of idea because it doesn't notice, for example, Wayne Grudem doesn't point out that the preceding verse says, in him there is no sin.
Right.
Well, how much sin is in Jesus? Did he just sin a little bit but didn't sin a lot? No, there's no sin. So when it says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, that's not actually what the Greek says. No one who abides in him sins is a better translation. Mm. I'm not sure what translation he's using here.
Probably the ESV, if I had to guess. I don't know. Maybe.
But if you look at the New King James, I'm pretty sure it says, no one who abides in him sins.
Right. And so if you're going to understand that verse, I would want to ask things like, what does it mean to abide in him?
Right.
What does it mean to know him?
Right.
What does it mean to see him?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Are those all terms for either being born again or not?
And
or
Zane Hodges discusses all that in his commentary on 1st through 3rd John.
Right, which we're about to reprint. I would highly recommend you go check it out.
And you can go to our website, faithalone.org. We have lots of articles on these passages like 1 John 3:6.
And I'm going to tell you, the free grace position on these verses makes a whole lot more sense than the ball of contradiction that you find in.
It's a ball of contradiction?
Is it a ball? I think if you read Wayne Grudem's book, you're going to come away confused. But if you read Bob's book, Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology, you're going to come away with a clear message of salvation. So I highly recommend you, if you have the one book, pick up the other. And certainly keep on listening as we go through Grudem's book on this show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what our basis for assurance should be. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.